Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Maddie B, and getting big numbers, so we love it. Love the support. Keep downloading. I think there was like some weird tweaks stuff with the Google Podcast app or whatever. I think it's all moving to YouTube, so we might start to do more of our live just directly on YouTube there. We'll keep you updated in the coming weeks. I'm not sure when they're going to do that switch over, but big plans coming up. The biggest college football weekend of the year happened over Thanksgiving. I said going in, I didn't like the NFL game on Black Friday. I think I had some fantasy guys in it, so I didn't mind it too much. But I don't like taking the spotlight away from college guys that aren't getting paid. My man Harbaugh, he's back, comes out first thing on his press conference yesterday, was talking about getting players paid. So you know they're going to keep going after him. He didn't learn his lesson, man. Did not learn the lesson. And Michigan, once again, beating Ohio State. I picked Ohio State to win because I have to keep picking him, right? I pick him and then Michigan wins. I can't jinx it. I think anyone coming in had to realize that Michigan had the better team. I think the most level-headed Buckeye fans that I talked to realized that it was more of just an annoyance going into the game. Like, hey, how come all your guys came back? It's like, maybe NIL? Because the way Michigan does NIL is better, personally, how I feel, than what A&M does. And I think the results kind of speak for themselves. A&M doesn't get bowl eligible. They have to have a crazy coaching search, which we'll get to in a bit here. But Michigan pays players and they based on like the advertisements, like I said. I see North Carolina kind of doing the same thing down here. North Carolina hasn't had the results, but you're able to keep guys around if they're doing like the North Carolina receiver, I don't know his name, but he does like foot sole commercials all the time. And the way they do it is you're structuring it where guys that are around for a couple years, they're the guys that are kind of the face of the program. Think Michigan's Blake Corum. Very easily could be in the Heisman. He came back, should have been in the NFL. He got injured last year. Everyone said, like, GoPro running backs have a short life. Gets in a bunch of NIL deals, comes back, says he wants to beat Ohio State. He had never even played against Ohio State. So, like, getting guys like that to come back made me think on paper, like, Michigan's the better team. They should easily win. It was closer than in the past years. I don't know if that's kind of like a philosophy type thing, because Michigan just grounded out. They weren't like trying to score. They did some trick plays and stuff, which, I mean, I guess if Donovan Edwards leads the tight end on the halfback pass like he did in the Big Ten championship game, Michigan probably wins by two scores at least. Because Ohio State at that point, they were struggling to score. They did come out in the third quarter and run the ball. I don't know how much of the game you watched, but I'll get your thoughts in a second. Where they did what Michigan did, where they ran the ball like eight straight times. And I thought, this is going to get really interesting because if Ohio State keeps running the ball and we're just having rotating drives of a team running eight times in a row for a touchdown and then the next team running for eight times in a row for a touchdown, there's only going to be like two or three drives left in the game. So whoever has the ball last might likely win. Ohio State gets a touchdown and the next drive they're like, no, we got to go back to just passing it and not eating up any clock. And at that point, I had the stats up. Ohio State actually had more rushing yards. They had a higher time of possession. They went to passing. Michigan gets the ball back. Michigan takes over time of possession. They take over the rushing leading. Blake runs in for a touchdown. And that's pretty much the game at that point. And I wondered, like, why did they switch? Because I thought, oh crap, they're gonna just run it up like Michigan did a couple years ago, where we're just gonna run every drive and get your defense tired because you can't stop us. And it worked for them for one drive, and they just kind of said, nah, we did it once. Don't care. But did you watch any of the Michigan game?
I did. I ended up having a really busy Saturday because hunting season opened up in Pennsylvania, so was out in the woods for a little bit, and then got home, saw some of the Michigan game, was at a birthday party for the Iron Bowl,
The Iron Bowl was crazy. We'll get that. I did want to congratulate you on Florida State winning. They messed around at the beginning of the game again. And I thought, like, are they seriously going to blow it? Because my worry has been that Ohio State's going to back into the playoffs again. Right? Watch a game with some Penn State fans. They're like, oh, we hope the Big Ten gets two teams in. I'm like, why? Why do we want Ohio State in?
But I feel like Ohio State, throughout the course of the year, has kind of been in the same boat, where for as well as they've been able to recruit in a lot of positions, they've absolutely whiffed on their quarterback situation. And with the way that the NCAA is shifting now with the NILs, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a team. And I think that's where you're seeing such a premium on the quarterbacks getting moved around and getting paid up. But I felt like the whole year, like it almost reminded me in some ways of Pitt when they had Larry Fitzgerald there and Rod Rutherford was throwing to him. It was just like, just throw it up there and know he's going to get it. It's like you could take almost any quarterback. It's like, just chuck it up. Marvin Harrison Jr. is down there somewhere, and he'll make a play on it. And you can only make a living off of those plays for so long before it comes back and bites you. And I felt like it finally did catch up to him with the interceptions during the game. And if you're getting semi-competent quarterback play, I think it pushes that game a lot closer.
Well, that's where I thought, like, coming in, I was surprised to hear how many talking heads were, like, just picking Ohio State. I think most of them across the board, like, I'm looking at other sites, I would say that it was at least 3-2 ratio of people picking Ohio State. And I thought, like, that's kind of disrespectful to JJ because he's only lost one game. And I know in the game that they lost to TCU, they had a fumble at the goal line. He threw two pick sixes, which is insane. And they only lost by a touchdown because they ran out of time. Like, that's basically what happened. Like, they could have still won, even turning the ball over three times that were very costly. And Ohio State, he's played very well. And in the past, they haven't even had to really use him. I mean, I guess he threw, what, two touchdowns? One was a broken, like, just comeback that they took to the house. And then he threw the bomb. And I think he threw three. Did he hit Colston Loveland maybe last year, too? So, like, they're hitting big plays, and credit to Ohio State, their defense philosophy this year changed, but it's kind of like the same thing where it's like, hey, we're not going to give you the breaking touchdown, but they never really shifted into, like, limiting the other plays. Like, last year, it seems like it's either all or nothing with them. Like, last year, everyone has to be near the goal, near the line of scrimmage. Everyone has to be coming in every play. And you can just take the top off and just score touchdowns like Michigan did. And so, like, Ryan Day came in the offseason. We just had five bad plays. If we don't have five bad plays, we probably win that game. And it's like, all right, but it's not just five bad plays. Like, that was your philosophy. So this year, I feel like he overcorrected and was like, we're going to keep guys over the top. And Michigan's able to just chunk it down. And, like, keep in mind, Harbaugh's not even there. Harbaugh's one of the greatest coaches in football at making adjustments. He's been that way since he was at Stanford, when they were upsetting teams with way less talent, and then with the 49ers. Like, there's a reason why he has a very high winning percentage in the NFL. It's because he's able to make adjustments on the fly. Not having him there was big, I felt like. Some of the trick plays and stuff that Michigan had been... Because you always hear about teams saying, like, oh, we're saving our stuff for our rival, like, when we need it. And then, like, I watch Ohio State, and I'm like, what the hell did they save for us? Like, there was nothing. Like, last year, they had that awesome designed punt fake, and I kept waiting for something like that, and they didn't do anything different, Matt. And I'm like, what were you doing? And I wonder if it's kind of just, like, them buying into the sign-stealing thing, because going into the game, Ryan Day made a comment, oh, we know why we lost to them the last 2 years. We, like, everyone knows. I can't make a comment on it because, you know, it's still ongoing, hinting that they only lost because of the sign stealing. And I honestly think that that played into this year, which obviously the sign stealing now looks like a joke. No one's bringing it up anymore. You can't say that the only reason Michigan's won the last 2 years is because of sign stealing and then lose to them and have them cover the spread on you. The spread was like four and a half. But
I think on that end, I think there's still there's still enough evidence that it's likely that something's going to come down the pike for the NCAA from it. Like, I just think there's so much cloudiness with the whole situation that there has to be something there. The difference being now, though, is I feel like Michigan has recruited well enough that it's shored up all the problem areas that they have. And, you know, give Harbaugh credit where it's due. He tailored his schemes around the players that he had. And now with the guys that he has, he can pretty much line up in any personnel grouping. He can go with three tights. He could go 2x2. And he can move the ball based off of where he has the advantage against the defense.
Well, that's the one thing where it's not just him that was out. Yeah, they have the talent. A lot of the guys came back. And that's why, like I had said earlier in the show, I don't think people that are casual watchers realize that, like, Michigan's a very senior-laden team this year. Kind of like I talked about TCU being last year, where TCU loses all those guys and look at their drop-off. They're, like, the first team ever to play in a national championship and then what, not make a bowl, I believe? Unless they ended up coming back. I don't think they did. I can't remember. But in terms of, like, the NCAA investigation, there might not be one. Just because after all the information came out, the only question mark was the linebackers coach, Chris Partridge, that also got fired right before the game. So Michigan was down three coaches. Connor Stallions, his job hasn't been replaced. So they're down an analyst. Harbaugh was out. And then Partridge was out, which is a linebacker coach.
But Harbaugh was still able to coach through the week, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, but on game day, you have three guys not on the sideline. That's a big deal. I mean, look at how many other guys have, like, coaches everywhere. And that's the one thing, too. Like, look at the guy that Mississippi State just hired. He was heavily involved in that Baylor stuff. Nothing happened. Head coach now. So, like, Connor Stallions and, like, Chris Partridge, I wouldn't be surprised, like I've been saying, that they're back on another staff because Partridge is his thing. His statement came out from his lawyer that they have nothing tying him to the investigation at all. His issue was that he was telling players to be careful what they said to the NCAA, like, to cover their own ass so they don't get suspended. And, I mean, of course they're not going to do that, but that's kind of smart advice, to be honest. Because, like, you don't want to talk to police if you get pulled over. That's, like, just common sense 101. So, I mean, that's a negative for him, but, like, can you imagine another program? They're like, oh, why'd you get fired? It's like, yeah, I was telling players to just don't snitch. And another coach would be like, all right, perfect. You come on our team. So, like, if the NCAA comes after, I feel like they're going to have to come out after Connor Stallions with, like, a show cause. There's nothing tying any of their coaches to it. So, like, it just feels like at this point, it was almost like I've been saying, reading around, the only people bringing it up are Ohio State fans. Guess why you don't see it anymore, Matt? No Ohio State fans bring it up because they sound like idiots. Because they just lost to Michigan a third time in a row, and Ohio State has more roster talent. You can say Michigan has a better roster. Yeah, of course they do. But Ohio State's still way ahead of them in the star rankings. There's no reason. You could say quarterback play. All right. But that's their own doing. Because they could have had Quinn Ewers this year. Instead, they took the Stroud transfer from Georgia. They didn't have to do that. Ryan Day didn't trust his development, decided to go with Stroud instead, knew it cost him Ewers, Matt. And Ewers transfers to Texas. They're potentially in the playoffs with the win. We'll get to the breakdown for playoffs here in a second. So it's like, I don't know what to think. The Big Ten obviously isn't going to bring it up because they look like idiots. James Franklin was talking about it. Ryan Day was talking about it. Michigan's and didn't even have the coach for half the year. Harbaugh wasn't there for six games, Matt. If Moore doesn't win the assistant coach of the year, it's like, who else are you giving it to? He has more top 10 wins now, Matt, than what Ryan Day has or whatever. Ryan, maybe top five. He has the same amount of top five wins as Ryan Day right now. One. In all the years, his only win came on COVID year against Clemson. He's never won against another top five team. Sharon Moore did it in his first year when, what? He's also our offensive line coach, the offensive coordinator, and the head coach. It's insane that one dude is coaching every single thing. If other programs aren't trying to hire him, then I don't understand what's wrong with them. I mean, honestly, I'm hoping Harbaugh just is doing some type of like thing he did with David Shaw, where if I go to the NFL, I want Sharon Moore to just take over. And how can you blame him? He had two top 10 matchups. He's 2-0. Isn't that the same type of number of wins that James Franklin has against the top 10, maybe? Hell, he might even have more. I think Franklin might only have one top 10 win. He has two. I think Penn State was ranked in the top 10. Maybe they weren't. But that's the numbers that we're talking about with his performance. That's how impressive it's been. And he wasn't afraid. Ryan Day didn't throw any trick plays in. They had a halfback pass. They went for it on a couple forward downs. He was mixing it up. Our best lineman, Zach Zinter, All-American, had his leg broken. The very next play, I'm thinking, well, there it goes, wind out of the sails. Nope, back to the ground, Blake Corum runs for a touchdown. And I thought, all right, that's what it is. Because I mentioned the drives earlier in the show. Halftime, Michigan has a lead. Ohio State just missed a field goal. Michigan's first drive gets a field goal. It's 17-10. The next drive, Ohio State has the ball for 6 minutes. Mostly running the ball, ties it up at 17. Michigan gets the ball back. It's the drive that I said ended with Blake Corum's touchdown run. 24-17, I think, all right, Ohio State's going to come out and just run the ball again, and they're going to try to really tire out Michigan's defense. Nope. A run, pass, both incomplete. They punt. Michigan gets a field goal, goes up 10. And that's pretty much it. Ohio State gets a touchdown, and then Michigan has their 7-minute drive, because guess whose defense is tired instead? Ohio State's. They're on the field for like 10 more minutes again. And that's basically what it is. Ohio State's offense, I don't understand why they can't just have any consistent play calling. Like, yeah, you're dinking and dunking. And honestly, the touchdown to Marvin Harrison Jr., you could even credit that to just Will Johnson getting injured. Will Johnson was pretty much all over him at the beginning of the game. He's the one that jumped that slant pass and intercepted it to start the game. He did a hell of a job. I'm worried that he's injured seriously, because they haven't really said what it is. And I don't know if he'll play in the Big Ten Championship. But having like a five-star corner on their five-star Marvin Harrison and doing a hell of a job on him. I mean, he tackled him, and Marvin Harrison had that great catch that he like did the pass interference on purpose, if you saw that play. And I thought, that's still a hell of a catch by him, because if not, it's just 15 yards. Like, just do the penalty. Do whatever. But that last interception, even if it wasn't tipped, that pass was going to be intercepted. Michigan baited them to throw an in route to Marvin Harrison. They had three guys on him on that play, and McCord stared him right down. And I thought, they knew he was going to run that route because they ran something similar against Notre Dame. No creativity. Why not just run like a fade to him? Try to get him in single coverage. Like, why are you running him on a deep in where there are two safeties and the cornerback on him? Didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
So that's my thing. Marvin Harrison, great receiver. Honestly, I don't think he deserves the Heisman hype. Doesn't have the stats. The Oregon guy has way better stats. And my thing is, what is the Heisman moment, right? Maybe I'm spoiled because like I can look back and see Desmond Howard returning a punt versus Ohio State, striking a Heisman pose, right? Charles Woodson doing the same exact thing a couple years later, striking a Heisman pose, right? You have guys like Reg Bush running all those touchdown runs, like big moments. But some of the guys in the Heisman this year, it's like, hey, what's your Heisman moment? It's like, oh, I don't know. Like Jaden Daniels, LSU. Oh, what's his Heisman moment? Well, he has a lot of stats. Yeah, but what's his Heisman moment? What did he do to help his team win? Oh, well, they lost a lot of their big games. Like, what did he do against Florida State? He did absolutely nothing. They got their ass beat. Like, and I'm not even joking. Like, I'm looking around, and I feel bad for, like, Blake last year, because if he doesn't hurt his leg, he probably wins the Heisman. If he has 200 yards against Ohio State, this year they don't have that. They're switching it. He's the scoring leader in the NCAA is Blake Corum. He's not even mentioned on a bunch of lists. And I'm like, what is the Heisman moment for some of these guys? Because, like, if I had to vote, I don't even know who I would vote for. Maybe the winner of the Pac-12 championship. I think that would have to be it, either Bo Nix or Michael Penix, right? But even lately, I haven't been impressed with either of them. Everyone keeps talking about how impressive Oregon is. Oregon State's coach quit last week in the middle of the week. Did you see that report?
Yeah.
So he interviews for the Michigan State job, cancels film study for the Oregon game, their biggest rival. Stops answering players' texts and everything. Goes through the walkthrough before the game. He's like, oh yeah, guys, I've been canceling everything because I'm taking the Michigan State job. Players are defeated. Don't even really want to play. They lose like 30-something to 7 or whatever. Everyone's talking about how Oregon really shut down their rival. It's like, no, the coaches gave up. I'm not going to go out there and run through a brick wall for a guy that just told us he's leaving and canceled all their practices for the week. Right?
Yeah.
That's why it annoys me. It's like, I saw that Georgia's defensive coach, he took a new job at Syracuse, and I'm like, good. Let other teams get their coaches poached. Why is it always Michigan's guys getting poached and like going places like Jed Fish going to Arizona, and he's doing a hell of a job? I thought he would be a better hire for a school like Mississippi State if you're really going to go for an offensive guy. Like, why not try to get a coach that, you know, has actually built a program up? I don't know. But maybe it's good that he's not around in case Harbaugh goes pro and Sherrone Moore doesn't want to be the head coach yet. Get Jed Fish over there. Because the Harbaugh there doesn't seem too toxic now. It's like, oh, awesome. But yeah, like, I look at Jaden Daniels, and nothing against the guy, but I'm looking for a Heisman guy that really doesn't have the moment. And I'm not saying that Michigan guys do or anyone else does. I honestly thought Jordan Travis had a lot of them. Fortunately, he gets hurt. And I think that it's the same thing that happened to Blake. Big guy gets hurt, and then everyone's questioning, like, oh, why is their team that good? But if Florida State loses, no one's going to say, yeah, they probably would have won if they had Jordan Travis. That, like, the Michigan loses to TCU. Would that game have gone differently if they had Blake Corum? Oh, hell yeah, 100%. Look at how he's been controlling the game against Penn State. Big touchdown run to seal the game. Ohio State, big touchdown run to put the game 2 scores or whatever happened that drive. Like, that's basically it. Like, if you have a guy that can put the game away, awesome. But don't tell me that, oh, he needs the Heisman, because if you don't give it to guys from, like, Mike Leach's system that have had big stats, and you say, oh, let's just write him off because Mike Leach is an offensive coach and that's just a system QB, but yet you're going to talk about all the hard stats that guys are putting up against, like, oh, these nobody teams. Because Ohio State guys have been pretty much the same thing. It's like, oh, what big game did you have where you put up a bunch of big numbers? It's like, oh, not the big games. Oh, yeah, you beat up Northwestern, Indiana, like McCord. Oh, threw 2 picks against Michigan, pretty much cost him the game. Is it really on him? Play calling? Forcing the ball to Marvin Harrison? Because both interceptions were throws to Marvin Harrison. So, like, what are you doing at that point? They have 3 5-star guys at receiver. They only throw to one of them. Is that on Ryan Day? Like, Ibuka did drop that one slant to start the game, and I thought, oh man, he's shaking. He was like visibly shaking, and I thought, oh, these Ohio State guys are nervous as hell. They don't want to be here. They're still afraid. Did you see him dancing before the game? I thought that Ryan Day thing where they're whistling and like jumping up and down. it's like so fake that. And I keep going back to Ohio State, but I feel like they have a chance to back into the playoffs. They put him at 6, and they're waiting for a Florida State to lose. I feel like that's what the playoff committee is thinking. Like, well, we know Bama's not going to win, so we have to put Ohio State behind Texas, or Ohio State in front of Texas, because we don't want Texas to jump Ohio State. We just want to kind of say, like, well, Ohio State only lost to Michigan. That's the best loss. Let's put them at 4 again. And then they're going to have the winner of the Pac-12 play Michigan in the Rose Bowl, and Ohio State will have a rematch with Georgia. I honestly think that's what they want. Because Ohio State was, what, a field goal away last year? And Georgia didn't look good against Georgia Tech. I don't care what anyone says. They were like, well, that game was out of reach. Like, no, it was a 1-score game. if Georgia Tech had any offensive firepower or anything, that game could have been what, tied? And then that was like 4 minutes left. That was more nerve-wracking than the Michigan-Ohio State game, because Ohio State couldn't stop Michigan, and they kind of ran the clock out. I did wonder, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it, because I said Michigan got like the first down, and they didn't, or no, it was like second or third down. Ryan Day waited to take the timeout, and I really thought that he should have took the timeout early and made Michigan make a decision at 1 minute and 45 seconds left, because instead he ran it all the way down to 1 minute for the third down play. And then Michigan just ran the ball. And I thought he just screwed himself. If he calls timeout, Michigan might pass the ball. Yeah. But then that's going to stop the clock. You're giving them an opt. Like, you're trying to help yourself out. You're going to call the timeout no matter what happens. But because you let the clock run all the way down to 1 minute, you just gave them an easy out to like, yeah, we're going to run the ball, so we make you eat your timeout, and you have like no time to even do anything. Credit to, I think it was Stover on the first pass on the last drive. They drew up a play where he threw it in the flat, and the guy got, he would have been tackled in bounds, but Stover just dropped the ball. I think it was on purpose. At least I hope it was, because I'm giving him a shout out for it. Because if he catches that, they don't even get past half midfield. Because they had a bunch of guys running deep routes, and they threw it to the flat, where they had two guys there, so Michigan had two or three defenders, and there was no way he can get out of bounds. It was short of the sticks. The clock never would have stopped till they got everyone lined back up. Then they're down to like, what, 30 seconds in the first play? Nightmare scenario. And I'm like, at that, then after that, then of course Ryan Day is like, well, we better throw for at least a first down. He figured it out. He got lucky. But I'm looking at Jaden Daniels' stats to go back to it. Like, Florida State, his passer rating was like 72. Okay, great. They lost 45-24. Oh, big game against Grambling. Like, awesome. Yeah, they scored 72 points or whatever. He didn't play all of it. And then he's like playing blowouts against like Mississippi State, Arkansas, Mississippi, Ole Miss. Like, yeah, big stats. They lost. What was his Heisman moment? Losing? They beat Missouri. He only threw for 259 in that game. So maybe that was his Heisman moment. Auburn, they win big. Auburn sucks. Army, win big. Army's not good. Bama, chance for your Heisman moment. Only puts up 28. Very similar to the Florida State game. Only has 219 passing. And I'm like looking at it, like going back. Yeah, he's exciting, but a lot of his highlights that they showed are like from Georgia State. I don't want to see that from my Heisman guy. There's a bunch of guys that are putting up stats on these other teams anyway. Give me someone good. And that's what kind of annoys me about Florida State, because like, I'm looking at the playoff bracket right now, and everyone's saying, all the experts are saying that if Florida State loses, they're out. And to me, what makes them different than Ohio State? I know Ohio State has a win over Penn State, which would be better than any of Florida State's wins, and Notre Dame, but Notre Dame's not better than like LSU. Are they? No, I don't think so. So I'm going to give you the floor here. Why do you think Florida State should be in the playoff, even if they lose like ahead of a team like Ohio State?
See, and being objective, I don't know if they should be in if they lose, because I feel like this game against Louisville is probably going to be closer than what people think. Just because of how slow they've been starting with the transition now that Jordan Travis isn't a quarterback. I mean, even with him there have been times that they've leaned really heavily on their defense. The defense has just been the backbone of the team. And till they get squared away defensively, it's like they give up random touchdowns and they dig themselves into a hole. I mean, hell, we joked last week about the Northern Alabama game, and I said, I'm going to walk to Tallahassee if we lose this game and fist fight everybody on campus. I feel confident going into the week because of how well, similar to what Michigan's done through the year, where they get the running game going and it opens everything else up. They've kind of stopped throwing as many 50-50 jump balls. I don't know if teams are really rotating more to Keon Coleman now, and I think that's kind of the defensive play is force the ball to Johnny Wilson more, because he's shown the Mike Evans inconsistencies with his receiving, that it seems like the ball's going to him more and Keon's catching all the coverage. So I think that the way that the team is structured, I think you have a voice to say, even with a loss this week, that you're still going to be a competitive team, because the rest of the NCAA still would have to have a rationale for how are they going to cover both of those guys, as well as the running back situation, because Toa Fili and Cedric Benson both have shown through the year that they're gashing defenses. Rotemaker, he's a backup, but I mean, he's also a junior. So it's not like you're dealing with an 18-year-old freshman that has no concept of what's going on. Like, Tate's been in the program and he's been in the system, that it's just, he's been unlucky in that he's been behind Jordan Travis. And we talked early in the year, and I said, our season's going to go as far as Jordan Travis takes us. Well, he got us pretty far this year, and now it's going to be on everyone else to bring him home. But the thing that I really like about this Florida State team this year, and it's been different from the ones over the last 3 years, is that they're playing a little bit more disciplined football than they have in the past. The years that they were really struggling and losing games, they were running into these problems of having unnecessary penalties and getting the unsportsmanlike conduct. And you really saw this against Florida, where they had lines spitting on guys and getting ejected, and they immediately capitalize on the penalty and drive down and score. And then they had, the roughing the quarterback penalty. They put a drive together. And it was like, there's all these like things that teams of the past would have fallen apart and started blaming each other. And it's like, they rally around some of those things that I think helps just make them a better team. It's definitely more enjoyable to watch, that you don't see them get frustrated like they were in the past, like visibly watching the game and being like, these guys are starting to quit, or they're like, their conditioning isn't there. Like, they're able to play a full game and not be run out of the building, which is a lot different than 3-4 years ago.
And that's kind of my point, where Florida State seems to be in a position, they're going to end up being 12-1. I think it really comes down to what people think. After watching Bama really struggle with Auburn, where they should have lost, and they took a miracle Hail Mary after a muffed punt on like 4th and 30 to even win the game. Like, I have a feeling that Georgia's going to win, and maybe that's why the playoff rankings kept Georgia at number one, because there's really no reason for Georgia to be above Michigan. Michigan has a better strength of schedule. They have better wins than what Georgia has. And there's really no argument other than Georgia was there ahead of them, and they're like the reigning champs or whatever, but they had no problem keeping Ohio State above Georgia for a while. So it's almost like, well, in the past, we're supposed to start fresh each week. They obviously didn't start fresh this week, because otherwise you're like, what are you looking at? I look at Washington too, and it's the same with Florida State. I really don't see that the Pac-12 is that strong anymore, as like I have in the past weeks. You keep having teams lose and lose, and I know I've been saying maybe because it's the 9-game schedule, but some of these Pac-12 teams that everyone thought were strong have turned out to be bad, and they're not even playing. Like, Arizona's ranked 15th. Oregon didn't play them. Oregon's schedule is actually a lot weaker than I would even have expected, until I saw people posting about how Michigan has the highest strength of schedule across like the board for the playoff, or teams that are in like the playoff run now after beating Ohio State, because like you have the strength of record or whatever, because of a lot of the Pac-12 teams falling off. Like, Oregon's schedule is Portland State, Texas Tech that just got boat raced by Texas, and Texas Tech could have beat Oregon. That was a one score game. Hawaii, Colorado that fell off the map, Stanford that's not good, Washington, they lose. Washington State, not good. Utah, they're average. They're not ranked anymore, I don't think, because they ended up being, what, 8-4? Are they on the new rankings? No, I don't see them, unless I miss them. So that's another one. Cal, pretty bad. They're 6-6, barely bowl eligible. USC fell off the map, not ranked. Arizona State, not good. Oregon State didn't prepare. Their coach just left. So what Oregon, everyone keeps telling me Oregon looks the best. Against who? Against who? I'm looking at the schedule, and I made fun of Florida State in the past. It's like Florida State's schedule looks a lot better right now than Oregon's schedule. The only team with a pulse that they played, they lost. And I know they're playing them again, and it was on the road. So maybe things will turn around. Maybe the Oregon State gave like law or win made them think like, well, we really don't have the schedule for the or practice for this Oregon State because their coach is gone. Maybe they knew. I don't know. But I'm looking at the Pac-12, and it doesn't seem as strong as what I thought. It's almost like the Big Ten, just without a Penn State to help perk it up. USC was supposed to be that third pillar. They don't have it. And so Oregon's schedule now just looks like a cakewalk. It's like a bunch of mediocre teams. Almost like Clemson. Clemson's ranked now. But like with LSU, Florida State has LSU ranked. They have Clemson ranked. They almost could have had NC State, but now they're going to play a Louisville team that's 14th. They fell because they lost to Kentucky. And I don't even see, is Kentucky even ranked anymore? Probably not. But it's like, all right. Well, like, what are you telling me that the Pac-12 is that much better? Like, yeah, Oregon State is still ranked, but we all know that they didn't try in that game. So can you really count that as a big win for Oregon? Coach is gone.
I almost feel like with the way that they're pushing Washington and Oregon, it's almost a way to just kind of keep the West Coast relevant, because they have their East Coast teams within the Big Ten and the SEC, and we've already like we've railed about this in the past about how with the ACC it doesn't matter, like it doesn't matter. Everyone says like they're a terrible conference. They've had college national champions in the playoff era, and it's just like, oh, it doesn't matter, it doesn't count. like Alabama like struggles and needs a Hail Mary to beat a losing record, like what was it 5-6 Auburn,
I think. Is that what they were? Are they even bowl eligible? So many teams that were trying to get bowl eligible lost that the committee has no idea what to even do. JMU, that was going to do that lawsuit, they're now bowl eligible because all the teams that lost. Like Florida State kept Florida out. I don't know if you saw it. Florida State kept Florida out. Iowa kept Nebraska out. There are so many 5-7 teams this year that I think they ended up picking maybe Minnesota at 5-7 to fill the last bowl spot after after taking two teams that weren't eligible, JMU and someone else. And it's like, what an embarrassing weekend. Like, and even the bowl, like Auburn is 6-6, so they were 6-5, but they just came off of a killing loss to Jerry Kill and New Mexico State.
Yeah. It's like, how are you going to tell me that beating that Auburn team is a good quality SEC win?
Well, that's why I thought like Kentucky too, they beat Louisville and everyone's like, oh, Kentucky should be ranked. And I'm like, they're 7-5. Like, yeah, they beat Louisville. Louisville had a big lead. I don't know what the hell they did because I was watching the Michigan game. And I'm like, the SEC now, Louisville is really blowing it because the SEC looked like they had, like, no big-time wins. Like, I don't even think, like, Alabama, I look at it, it's like Ole Miss. Like, okay, yeah, who they beat? I would like to see Ole Miss play at, like, Iowa. Are they really good? Can they score on Iowa? I don't know. Put that game together, see what happens. Because, like, honestly, if they played Penn State, I would think Penn State would win. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Penn State team doesn't show up. But like maybe that's what the expanded playoffs is going to give us. An opening game at Happy Valley where Ole Miss comes in. And like I would like to see some of these teams from the South play at like Beaver Stadium or the Big House or the Horseshoe in front of 100,000 people in the cold. Because I have a feeling that they're not going to be able to do it. Maybe that's just me. But, like, I don't see why the SEC, like, if Bama was in, I don't see why they should have home field advantage over a team like Penn State because of their perceived better losses when they're barely beating teams like Auburn that they should have blown out. I don't know why everyone's patting them on the back. Maybe it's to get the TV ratings up for this week game. I don't know. Let's go through the, before we get to the NFL stuff, let's just go through real quick. Because I think if you're going to go through the playoff games, Georgia, Bama, who do you got?
I think that this isn't the slam dunk that everyone thinks it's going to be. I'm going to say Georgia, but I think Alabama's going to play them tight. I wouldn't be surprised if Alabama pulls the upset off after having to go down to the wire with Auburn. Because I think you may have had a situation where Alabama just takes Auburn lightly, looking past them for the opportunity to play Georgia, knowing they have to win to set the dominoes in play for everybody else to make the playoffs. It can't be they have to win decisively to get themselves a voice for why they should be in.
Well, that's why I want to see the Washington Oregon games first on Friday. I think that's going to clear a lot of things up. If Washington wins, that guarantees an opportunity for three undefeated conference champs and possibly Georgia. If Bama beats Georgia, they could realistically be eliminating the SEC from the playoffs because everyone's saying it's not going to happen. But an undefeated Washington, an undefeated Michigan, and an undefeated Florida State, to me, are locks. I think Michigan becomes the number one seed. Washington, the two. They said possibly Bama would jump to the three, and they'd push Florida State to the number four. But as an undefeated, it's like, does that really matter? Like, Michigan, Florida State, and the Rose Bowl, all right, is that any different than, like, Michigan playing Bama in the Rose Bowl? I don't know. But if you're looking at that, you're going to have to deal in Texas then. Because is Texas going to go ahead and be jumped by a Bama team that they beat in Alabama? The committee has to look at that. And to me, if they put Alabama in over Texas, it's not a real playoff. If that scenario plays out, I think someone said that it has a chance of, like, 50% chance of happening. It really hinges on that Washington game. Because, like, in reality, Michigan and Florida State are both favorites. Louisville just came off a loss. Iowa hasn't been able to score. If Iowa comes out and scores, like, what? They probably need to score at least 21 to beat Michigan or so. What was the Penn State score? Something like that. Where not Iowa, Penn State, because I know Iowa got killed. But, like, the Penn State-Michigan game, like, whatever that score was, Iowa would need to keep up with that because that's, like, the low-end Michigan where it's, like, a slow defensive slugfest. But personally, you can't tell me that Iowa's defense is better than Ohio State and Penn State's defense. And Michigan scored in the 20s on both them. Because, like, Iowa has played nobody. Their schedule's weaker than Oregon's. They played Penn State, and they got killed by 30. So it's like, all right, that should be a shoe-in. If Michigan loses, because I'm not saying it might not happen. Hell, we saw the playoff, three turnovers. If three turnovers, JJ shows up, then maybe Iowa beats him. But I think Florida State, too. If Florida State loses on Saturday, Matt, I'm going to be flabbergasted. Because, like I said, if all the other favorites win, where if it's Georgia, Michigan, Washington, and Florida State loses and they put Ohio State in, I'm just going to sit there and be in stunned silence.
Well, like, that tells me that you don't really watch a lot of recent FSU football.
Oh, no, because you better believe it, buddy. CW has gotten me a lot more Florida State games than what I normally would have seen. So, I don't know why you're laughing. That CW deal is pretty sweet because instead of me having to watch Purdue play Minnesota and I'm like, why the hell is this on NBC? I can tune into the CW and watch Jordan Travis's leg just be shown 13 times in a row. And I'm like, who's running this board? And then I see that someone congratulated the CW on having one of the best football productions of the year with the Florida State games. And I'm like, did they not watch the same games? The Michigan game, Zach Zinter's leg is broken. It looks like you can see his bone. And guys are watching, it's like, oh, that looked like his bone was sticking out. I'm like, yeah, that looked pretty gross. And they're like, we're not going to show the replay. And guess what? They never did. Jordan Travis, they're like, here's a play where he's getting hurt. I'm like,
look at it again.
Slow mo. I'm like, why are you showing me that, man? I don't want to see a guy's leg, like a bone sticking out. Like, that's disgusting or whatever. Because it wasn't Jordan Travis a bone break, too. I can't remember it.
You watch his leg snap.
Because it's like the same thing. It's like, why? And then even in the Michigan game, the guy's leg breaks and the broadcast is like, well, they're hoping that maybe they can get it. We don't know what the injury is. Maybe they'll get him back by the playoffs. I'm like, what are they doing? Giving him like a bone replacement? How are you going to get him back in time for the playoffs? What are you talking about? It's only a month away, guys. What are you talking about? That's like Jordan Travis. They're like, well, maybe it's not that bad, you know? He misses the ACC championship, but he's back. He might be back, but it's like, you have to wait. If it's a bad break like that, that guy from LSU, or not LSU, the Louisville basketball guy, he was out for like a year.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, it's a bummer to see, but watching Florida State, it seems like they're able to kind of, the initial game plan isn't that good. I will say that, and I'm kind of baffled. Like North Alabama, it's like, you could struggle with them for a series or two, because they're undefeated. What are you doing? And that was with Jordan Travis. So it's like, now you don't have him. Maybe you're taking things for granted. That we'll say he's overlooking that game anyway, so who cares? But you can't do that against Louisville. Jeff Brohm, guess what? He was one of the coaches that was named in that counter sign stealing thing from Purdue that had Michigan signs last year in the championship game. How do you know he's not stealing signs in Louisville, Matt? Obviously not a big deal, though, right? No one cares about that anymore. But he was named. Their team had Michigan signs. Ohio State gave them right to him. Said, here you go, guys. How do you know Kentucky, the Stoops brothers, not throwing them the signs? Or I guess that wouldn't be a Florida State team. Who would Florida State get the signs from for Louisville? Probably like Miami or someone, right? Hey, we hate Florida State. Here you go. Here's what they're doing. So, possibly. But NC State really should have beat Louisville. They have to be kicking themselves because NC State's never really been in an ACC football championship as far as I know. They're a field goal away from beating Louisville. All they had to do was win that game and we'd be having a Florida State-NC State championship game, which I may have attended, although Michigan has their game on the same day. I don't know if I could have done that knowing that Michigan was going to go undefeated back-to-back years in the regular season. But that's what I want to see. I want to see... At least I would like to see Washington, Michigan, and Florida State all win. After that, I don't care because I think that scenario either is going to put the most pressure on the committee, or if Georgia loses, or Georgia wins and we end with no controversy. Because if all four teams in the playoffs are undefeated, if it ends up being right now, nothing changes and it's Georgia versus Florida State and New Orleans, I guess would be the pick probably for them. And then Michigan and Washington in the Rose Bowl. I think that'd be a good playoff. I don't know who would win because it seems like Georgia isn't like as top team as possible. I wouldn't even be surprised if Florida State won. We can get a weird championship like Florida State Washington, right? That would be funny.
It's plausible.
So the committee would be like, "Oh, here's a bullshit national championship game."
Oh, they'd just be like asterisk by it, like, "Oh, This national championship game doesn't count."
They'd probably just throw together a consolation game between Georgia and Michigan and then play it at the same time on ABC while they put Florida State Washington on ESPN too. They're like, "Hey, we got to do the coaches cam on ESPN, so you can put your game on ESPN too, guys. Sorry." We have this other game we got to show. But that's what I'm hoping for, is more of a straightforward, because I don't want to see like Ohio State come in the last, everyone hyped up the game going into it saying this is the last game that means anything. Of course, once Ohio State lost, everyone was like, "Oh, that didn't mean that much. Not a big deal, really." Cause it's never a big deal when Michigan wins. It's only if Michigan loses. Cause they kept showing like, "Hey, what are some big highlights from the Michigan Ohio State rivalry, the biggest games?" And they kept showing like 05. And I kept thinking like, that game meant jack shit because Ohio State got their ass whooped by Florida the next week or whenever that was, the national championship game. So that game was nowhere near a big game. We don't know. This year could be the biggest. What if Michigan wins the national championship and Ohio State was 6 points away or a touchdown on that from potentially winning the national championship? To me, that would be bigger than going back and like, who's going to get lose to Florida, right? It's like that's like the LSU Bama like rematch. It's like that you can't claim that was one of the greatest games of all time because they rematch and it was a boring game the second time. No one cares about the first game because then Bama killed him the second time, right? The college football did that to themselves by putting them matched up back up. No one wanted to see a rematch. You already had the greatest game. LSU wins the national championship. Everyone says that could be the greatest game of all time. The first Michigan-Ohio State 1-2 matchup. Ohio State loses to Florida so bad that no one remembers that game other than whenever they show it on the highlights. Michigan wins a natty in 97. Guess what? Wasn't in their highlight reel, Matt. Wasn't a big Ohio State-Michigan game, right? Doesn't matter that Charles Woodson had to take the punt back to beat him. That game doesn't matter, though, because Michigan won it. Not a big game. That's how it goes. If Ohio State would have won, though, big time. Big time game. They had like no highlights from like the last couple years. I'm like, when Ohio State and Michigan were both in the top five and it decided who went to the playoffs, those weren't big games. Michigan won. That's why. Yeah. Last year, they both made the playoffs. That game determined seeding. They both lost, though. So not a big game, really, because nothing mattered. Although they did steal a playoff seed away from like Pac-12 because of it. Or no, yeah. Pac-12 didn't get one. ACC didn't get one because of that game. So it was a big deal for that reason. This year, will it be another big game? If Ohio State ends up being 4 and we get a Georgia-Ohio State rematch. TV will like that, right? Because that game went right down to a missed field goal. TV will love it. But that's my thing. Michigan-Iowa, who you got in that one?
I got Michigan, but...
You don't have Ferentz? Maybe I love Ferentz.
I will never let you live it down. If the Big Ten champion is a team that can't score an offensive touchdown.
Well, Matt, Michigan's back-to-back championship, so they can't win it every year. If they end up losing, not a big deal, Matt. Can't win it every year. Plus, according to ESPN's thing, Michigan has like a 70% chance of making the playoffs, even if they do lose, Matt. Because who are you going to put ahead of them? Ohio State, they just beat them. They could just take the week off. Harbaugh could just stand there and like...
No, if you lose to Iowa, you're not making the playoffs.
If we lose to Iowa and make the playoffs and then win the natty, what would you say?
I would just say that's just crap luck. Because there's no way this side of hell that Florida State could pull something like that off. Like time to go to the Big Ten. So then they'll be like, oh, the Big Ten sucks as a conference.
That's what you think Florida State would swing the opinion because
they would join and then it would just be like, oh, Florida State's in the Big Ten. Look at all these shitty teams in there now.
Well, I keep telling people, they keep talking about how Penn State's going to be like the top dog next year. And I'm like, that depends on quarterback development. You could very well have a scenario where Ohio State and Michigan play potentially 3 times next year. If JJ comes back, and Ohio State keeps recruiting how they've been recruiting. They could play to end the year. Michigan could have a tiebreaker over whatever. So, like, let's say Michigan loses. But because Michigan plays every single team, let's say they have the tiebreaker, right? Hell, Michigan could have 2 losses. They could lose to Texas to start the year before the Big Ten play. Play Ohio State, lose again, be a 2-loss team. Play them in the Big Ten championship. Heck, if they don't lose to Texas, Michigan could actually lose to Ohio State back-to-back weeks in the regular season, then the Big Ten championship game, still make the playoff at 2 losses as a top 10 team because of beating like Washington and USC and all them, then play again in the playoffs if they win that first matchup at home, may match right up with Ohio State. It'd be like the craziest thing. TV networks would be going nuts. Could you imagine if Michigan loses to Ohio State twice, then beats them, and then wins a national championship? That would be insane, right? And it could happen next year because of the expanded playoff. So I'm all here for it. Like, I would love it. That's my only bummer is, like, they're going to keep Michigan, Ohio State right before the Big Ten championship. If those two teams keep recruiting and developing higher than everybody else, they could just be butting heads 2 weeks in a row. And then at that point, does the Big Ten make a change? Because do you really want back-to-back Michigan-Ohio State games? Could you imagine if this... Because it would happen this year. You would have Michigan and Ohio State playing again this week. What would be the difference? I mean, like last year would have happened, and the year before I think it would have happened. So 3 years in a row, we would have, if they would have had the expanded Big Ten, and we'll just pretend the other teams aren't there so we don't know their records, but if the standings were the same and they had no divisions, you would have had a rematch 3 years in a row. Maybe Michigan wins all six games and Ryan Day is fired this week in some other scenario. But the feelers put out by him for the A&M job. Let's talk about the A&M job real quick, then we'll get to the NFL. Unless there was something else I said I was going to bring up that I forgot. But A&M hires Mark Stoops. To me, an awful hire, right? Because you just fired a national championship winning coach. You're paying him $70 million, and you're going to hire a guy from the SEC that has never even won the SEC East. What the hell are you doing? And you can say, well, he'd have better recruiting. We're going to pay for better recruits. You still have to develop the culture. You just saw that. You see it right now at USC with Lincoln Riley. Yeah, he's a great coach. He was winning in Oklahoma. We'll just pay him the recruits. Guess what? Doesn't work. Doesn't work. They're throwing Gary Patterson out there, I talked about last week, as potentially being the head coach behind the scenes. Is that what you want if you're going to pay for Mark Stoops? Of course, the boosters go crazy because they let Smith go to Michigan State. Michigan State looks like nobody wants their job. They're begging Urban. They're begging all these other coaches. Smith is like, I got to get out of Oregon State. I'm an alum. I think he was an alum, right?
I think.
So he's an alum. He just says, you know what? I got to get out of here. A&M, they could probably got him for even cheaper than what they ended up having to pay, because like Mark Stoops was at $7 million, right? So that gets leaked and shut down. Elko, they get him from Duke. He was used to be their defensive coordinator, right? Guess what? The agent has to work something out. Yeah, he has to get that offer back up to $7 million because he knows what Mark Stoops makes. Those idiots, right? Because Matt, I told when you sent me the offer sheet, I'm like, yeah. Their agent did the right thing. He said, well, you're going to hire Mark Stoops, so you have to be paying him more than $7 million. So we want at least $7 million. They could have been like, nah. They're like, what's he going to do, take a pay cut to go coach you guys with higher expectations? You just fired a coach that in the middle of a 10-year contract, guys. You're not going to go ahead and get anything. So they should have just went with Dion. It would have been awesome. What would their difference have been? Nothing? And Dion with a bunch of five-star guys? Because Dion could get them to play hard, right?
Yeah.
That's what everyone kept saying, oh, Michigan State, wait till they get Dion. And I'm like,
but I think
all right.
with A&M, I think that would have been a harder sell because some of those guys wouldn't have been able to. It would have been harder for them to transfer over.
I had a hard time believing it because in my mind, I thought, you don't fire a guy unless you have an inside track on a guy like Urban Meyer, right? No, not the case at all. They had no idea what they were doing. It's a complete shit show.
Well, but that's A&M. Like, I feel like their expectations were so outrageous that they're like, well, we're just throwing, like, you could pay for players, and we're going to do it. And they did. And they didn't really, it was almost like a very Washington Commanders type thing with Dan Snyder, where it was like, we're just going to go every offseason, and like he was essentially playing Madden with real people. Was just like, oh, who are the top rated free agents? All right, I'm signing you. I'm signing you. I'm signing you. I'm signing you. He had signed like five or six like big name free agents, and then they wouldn't fit the scheme, and it was just like a complete shit show.
Well, that's where they put out that feeler after everyone was laughing at him. Where the head of the committee or whatever that searched for the coach said, well, we were looking at some key things. Like, we needed a defensive coach. All past SEC championship winners had a defensive-minded coach that came in and developed a hard-working culture like Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. And I'm like, so basically, you guys are basing your hire from a guy that has no experience as a head coach. Like, because Nick Saban had coached at Michigan State and was successful. Kirby Smart didn't really have it, but it took him years to build that up, right? Of losing to Saban and other stuff before he started winning. And you're going with a guy that hasn't done any of that. They basically just said, we're hoping that Elko is our Kirby Smart. That's it. That's all they had to say. guy that was here before. We're going to bring him back and hope that he can get things running if we pay for number one recruiting classes. And I'm like, all right, good for you guys. Because they tried for Dan Lanning. And I'm like, Oregon doesn't really seem to have high expectations for their coaches. A lot of them end up leaving for better jobs anyway. Now they're going to the Big Ten. There's no Big Ten West, which makes it weird because like that goes against like your idea of thinking that they need a Western schools that are good. In the Big Ten, like, is it going to matter? Because they're not going to keep winning it like what they have right now. There's no way that they're going to keep being successful in the Big Ten when you have to go play teams that are just slow, like Iowa, and you're trying to run fast, and they're like, you know what? We just don't care. But you have to do it every single week on the road in the cold. You're going to turn it to Nebraska. Nebraska can't win at all. That's what Iowa fans are afraid of. I have a couple Iowa buddies still, and they're like, if we get rid of Ferentz, we could be worse, a worse Nebraska. And like, that's a bad move. No matter how bad the offense is in, at least they're still winning. Nebraska can't win to save their life. Iowa had an interception to their guy on Friday. All Nebraska had to do was go down and kick a field goal. They threw an interception themselves and let Iowa win. Just go to overtime at that point. Because you know Iowa can't move the ball. Like, Iowa's kicker was like brand new. He had never kicked in a game before. Take him to overtime. Make him kick a field goal in overtime, right? Instead, they throw an interception and Iowa gets a nice chip shot field goal to win the game. And Matt Rhule's just like, what am I doing? He's like, he should just hire Scott Frost as the OC and then have things just go crazy from there. Right? Just he needed to embrace the Nebraska lifestyle, I think, is what they need. Because they're still losing close games. That's like their new... It's not even Clemsoning anymore, Matt. Because it's just like Nebraska-ing, and that's like their life. They have no chance of ever winning a natty, unlike Clemson. Because like they're losing games to loser teams. Clemson was losing games when it looked like they were going to break through, and then they would choke. And you're like, are they ever going to break through? Nebraska's like, we can't even get bowl eligible when we're choking. It's like a worse version. That's my last college. Do you have anything else for college?
Yeah, I just, it cracks me up that, like, back to the Florida State, like, in their schedule, because they always have to find whatever analytic to be like, yeah, their schedule isn't tough. Florida State won 7 games against Power 5 opponents that are bowl eligible. It's the most in the country. They've won 7 games against bowl eligible teams.
But they don't have any top 10 wins like Michigan, man. That's why they're lower on the real ranking.
So next year, I want to make sure that I had this identified for when we're playing for the Big Ten championship.
You need to have a rival that has a coach that is soft, that has a team in the top 10.
Well, we have the wooden beam. We play we play Rutgers. It's been a well known tradition.
You need Florida State. Honestly, if they join the Big Ten, should just immediately become rivals with Penn State. Soft coach makes excuses, right? Because like Penn State's not going to play Michigan or Ohio State every year. They don't have a rival. If Florida State comes in and they're like, we want to be rivals with Penn State. Then you have like that Eastern
have the Geezer's Cup. It could be in honor of Paterno and Bowden.
Yeah, just put a hat, right? Don't they? Isn't that like a fedora? It's not his thing. It's just a hat that the players put on, right? Because like some players get like the boot or whatever. Isn't that one of the trophies? Then they get the hat. It's like, hey, it just has 300 on it. It's like, all right, awesome. And then, yeah, because like I'm telling you, they need to have another rivalry game that's as big, or not as big, but like you can put Washington and Oregon that last weekend, and if they could somehow bring in Notre Dame and USC, and then you'd have Penn State and Florida State, then you have 4 games that same weekend that might have the same implication to where you can say, we don't want rematches, and we're going to have a championship weekend where there are 2 games to kind of do seeding for the playoffs, where if they've already played each other, like they can just do the schedules where, okay, Ohio State and Michigan they're both going to play Penn State and Florida State this year. And then we're not going to do the rematch. So they're going to play each other. Like the winner of that game is going to play the winner of the other one. And then that's going to be our East champion or whatever. And then they get the trophy. It's kind of like a same. It's like a split championship. The Big Ten has had split championships for decades. If one team has a better record, they're the real champ. If it's the same, they just split it. But you don't have the rematch until the playoff, if that. And then your teams aren't really getting beat up. You still have the extra game for the top winning teams. So that way you have potential three or four teams. And heck, they could even just do the winner of Penn State or Michigan, Ohio State plays the winner of Penn State, Florida State. And then the losers play as potential like, hey, we could get a third team in or a fourth team in. Like, let's go. And then because it's open-ended, it's kind of like pods, but not because some of those teams aren't like Rutgers. Like you said, they're never going to be there. But if they are, they don't have to worry about having another tough game. They're just there. They're in. Their championship game would be like against Iowa or someone. And they're like, hell yeah, we got it, baby. Just lock in a power, like a blue blood weekend. Call it that. I don't know what the hell to call it. I mean, hell, they're going to sell. More people are going to watch that. If the real Big Ten championship ended up being Iowa and Rutgers, no one's going to watch that game. But they will watch a consolation game between Ohio State and Penn State. Because, like, let's say this year, Michigan and Florida State, that would be the Big Ten championship game. And then the consolation game right before it would be Penn State and Ohio State to see who the second team in would be. That would be just as big, if not bigger, than the other games. Like, that would be bigger than the Big 12 championship right now. People would watch a rematch between Ohio State and Penn State at a neutral site. They 100% would. I would. I'm not going to watch Tulane play whoever they're playing. But that's what the Big Ten needs to do. People have, they talked about it during COVID. So it's in their heads. They've talked about it before. But I'm all for Florida State coming in. I mean, I hate the Big Ten because they're a bunch of snitches. And you never know what sportsmanlike anymore. They penalize Harbaugh because he's unsportsmanlike, Matt. Not because of an advantage. They just said it's unsportsmanlike to have your coach film other games instead of just asking them for it. Because according to Ohio State, that's the right way to do it. Just get the other team to send you the signals. No big deal. No big deal. I did want to talk about the NFL real quick before we wrap up. Matt Canada, he gets fired. Steelers come in. Everyone's thinking, all right, the offense is doing good. They get like, what, 400 yards? And everyone's bragging about it. And I'm thinking to myself, they scored 16 points. What the hell are you guys talking about? The Bengals don't even have a starting quarterback. The Bengals game was so bad. Their game plan was so bad that they couldn't do anything. And did the Steelers only mustered 16 points and barely won the game? Kenny Pickett. QBR, 65. Awesome. 278 yards. Oh, awesome. Great work, buddy. Najee Harris did have 99. He almost got 100. He scored a touchdown, and I thought, maybe he is looking better than Warren. But maybe not. I don't know. Because the offense had no rhythm or anything to it. They were just putting up yards and then not scoring. And people were like cheering it on like it's the best thing. Here's their drives. Punt. Fumble. Field goal. Punt. 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 Oh, hell, this new OC is awesome. Second half. Touchdown. Field goal. Field goal. End of game. They had more punts than scoring drives, I think. 3, 4, 5. It might have been around the same. So it's like, was it better? Or did the Bengals offense just get tired or defense just get tired at the end of the game because their offense was even worse somehow? The Bengals was like punt, punt. They get a miracle touchdown, then punt, 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 field goal. Oh no, they had an interception I missed in there. Like maybe their defense just got tired because they're running, their punts are 3 plays, 4 plays, 5 plays, 3 plays, 4 plays, 4 plays. Even their touchdown was 4 plays. So, yeah, maybe the Steelers defense or maybe the Bengals defense just got a little bit tired because they were on the field like the entire game. And the Steelers offense isn't that much better. They just got lucky. The Steelers were on the offense was on the field 37 minutes. The Bengals or the Bengals defense, I mean, with the Steelers offense was 37 minutes. The Bengals offense was only on the field 22 minutes because they had a backup quarterback, and they were somehow even worse than what the Steelers were a regular game. That's what I wanted to talk about. I don't understand it. I don't know how people are pumped about this performance. Yeah, the Steelers are 7-4. The offense still sucks. The offense still sucks. They got to play the Cardinals. The schedule's so weak that it might not matter. Cardinals are bad. Patriots are bad. They play the Colts that are somehow winning. The Bengals are bad again. The Seahawks and Ravens end the year. Probably their two toughest games. Well, they're probably going to have 10 wins, I would think. Right? Do you agree?
I feel like it's going to be sloppy, but they're going to get there.
I think, looking at that, I think they'll beat the crappy teams. They'll get to 10 wins, and then everyone's going to be like, oh, yeah, here we go. We're running it, baby. And then the wheels just fall off, and that's it. And maybe Pickett builds on it next year. I just don't see any consistency watching the game, and it was like watching. Everyone makes fun of Iowa. The Steelers game wasn't much better. How was that better? I saw 100 punts that game. That's like, that was like an Iowa nightmare. That was like watching Iowa, Nebraska. The score was almost the same too. 16-10. The Iowa game was 13-10. Maybe it's the jersey color, Matt. Maybe it is the jersey color. The only thing that they had on Iowa is they put up a lot of yards. Didn't score like them, but they did have a lot of yards. I don't even know what to say. I watch other NFL. I kind of did like, well, the Packers look good on Thanksgiving. I've been telling you, hey, the Packers should just open it up. That's the one thing the Steelers didn't do. I said, the Packers, man, they really opened it up. They're taking deep shots. And guess what? They're scoring. And they're beating the Lions with a big upset. And the Lions looked lost. And then the Steelers, I'm like, just take some deep shots. The Bengals have no one going. They did take one to Pickens. Was it the third quarter or so? It was around one of their touchdowns. I think it was the one maybe that Najee Harris ran in. And then they like were like, we can't go back to that. They know we could do it. We can't do that. You got to go back to our punt formation. Just running around, and then we're going to get 30 yards and then we're going to punt. Awesome work, guys. Awesome work. I'm just so frustrated with it. It's just tough to watch. Like, why would I watch that? If you weren't a fan of either team, I don't know how you watched that game. Or hell, half the games from the NFL over the weekend. You're right. It's bad. Dallas killing Washington. Yeah, it's funny because I have Dak Prescott as my QB in fantasy, but is that really something people should watch on Thanksgiving? At least it's not killing the Redskins anymore on Thanksgiving Day, Matt, right? They're the Commanders. It's the only positive in the whole thing. Frank Reich, I did want to talk about that too. Gets fired. I think I talked about it a little bit in the pre-show. I said last year, awful hire by the Panthers. Why would you fire
He's my hero.
Why would you fire Matt Rhule and then bring in Frank Reich that already sucked with Indianapolis?
He's my hero.
Because he gets fired?
He's going to be collecting two multi-million dollar unemployment checks now.
That's what you need in life.
Not just get fired once and get paid millions of dollars. Get paid millions of dollars while you're fired, and then get fired again, and they're still paying you.
It's like he'll be in the Nick Saban's coaching rehab center next. But like Josh McDaniels, same way. Like, I tricked you. That's what he should have said. Because like the Panthers fans down here, everyone was so pumped whenever they heard the owner. He dropped an F-bomb because he was so mad at the game. And it's like, what did he expect? You gave him a rookie quarterback. Does he have any experience developing quarterbacks? No. Does he have a good experience doing anything? No. Then why did you hire him? He'd been better getting the guy that was intern with the Raiders that actually had the Raiders looking good. But it's like, nah, too risky. Barely had any experience. Well, this other guy does. Was it any good? No. But he does have it. Checks all the box. Let's bring him in. That's why it's funny when people are like, NFL teams don't want to touch Harbaugh. It's like, they don't? They're hiring Frank Reich, guys. Are you serious? Harbaugh just wants full control because he knows these owners are idiots, right? Like David Tepper.
Well, I felt like there was something there when him and Peterson were coaching together in Philly, but clearly that dynamic has now shifted.
Well, I look at it because everyone's saying that Harbaugh might be linked to this Panthers gig now because of Bryce Young, and he can come in with a young quarterback. And I'm like, he really doesn't like guys that run and move around like Bryce Young. That's against the Harbaugh. He liked Kirk Cousins last year when he was potentially going to the Vikings. That's his guy. That's his type of quarterback, right? A guy that's more of like the traditional pocket passing guy, not a guy that's running all over because like he's afraid of them getting hurt. And maybe he's right, but to him to come in and have an idiot owner like David Tepper, why would he ever take that gig? He already had to deal with that with the 49ers and he hated it. So that's part of his thing. It's like every time Harbaugh's brought up, he's only mentioned for like a handful of franchises. Even the Raiders, it's kind of like he's mentioned, but I don't know if he wants to work with Mark Davis. Right? Everyone's like, he's going to go with the Browns. The Browns tried everything to get him. And he was like, I'm not going. You guys are nuts here. Why would I coach that? Right? He sees his brother in Baltimore that has all the support. Yeah, there are crazy fans saying, like, Harbaugh's making some bad decision. It's like, they like the consistency. Look at the support Tomlin gets. Yeah, the fans want him possibly fired. We've talked about it multiple times on the show. Are they going to move on from him? I don't know. They like the consistency. They like the winning. He can win enough to potentially win you a Super Bowl. That's what they want. That's all Jim Harbaugh wants, is a gig that he can go and potentially win. Is he going to go to the Jets? The Jets is dysfunctional. Every time people are like, I'm hearing your boy is going to go to the Jets, it's like, I'd be kind of surprised if he did. They didn't want him last time when he had like a situation. He's not going to go work with Aaron Rodgers. Why'd he do that? Aaron Rodgers will be there for 1 year. Then what's Harbaugh going to do? Be screwed? You're going to go work for the Bears. It's like, why? Justin Fields looks like a bust. Why would he go there? No one has been able to be like, everyone's like, but Fields looked really good in preseason. He hasn't won any games. Heck, if he would have went to the Texans with Stroud, maybe they would be even winning more. I don't know. But that's the one thing. It's like all these teams hiring these old guys that sucked. And then they're kind of shocked about it. I just don't get it. I don't get it. And that's my NFL thing. It's like Chiefs, yeah, they're winning. Andy Reid's there forever. Now he's like the winningest coach there. They have stability. The Broncos have started to kind of win under Sean Payton, which is kind of shocking to me. They've won 5 in a row. They were 1-5 at one point. Packers, like I said, they're now half game behind the Vikings. The Vikings have lost 2 in a row because once people caught back up with Dobbs, you knew Dobbs wasn't going to be an awesome quarterback the entire year, right? He's had years to prove it with the Steelers and other teams. There's a reason the Vikings were able to get him mid-year. So I'm not saying that their season is over. He might be able to get them into the playoff spot. But moves like that are letting the Packers kind of hang around. The Seahawks are hanging around. Now the Rams are hanging around. And so that's going to be an opening for the NFC playoff spot where maybe we see some changes here where teams that are like, you thought we're out of it. Same with the Broncos. Thought they were out of it. Oh, man, guess what? They're like tied right now for the playoff spot with the Colts. All it takes is like a team like the Steelers beating the Colts for the Broncos to get into the playoffs. All it takes, Packers beating the Vikings. They're in that last spot already. Boom. Back in. Someone said that, who is it? Hurts is in the running for like MVP, and he might have already locked it up. His passing stats are like the same as Jordan Love's. What is the difference, Matt? Other than one team wins, that goes back to my husband thing. You got to have the wins. You can't just have the stats. That's my last thing to wrap up the show. Go Blue. Beat Iowa again. Hopefully not too bad because we like Kirk Ferentz there. And I would hate for him to get like have to retire at the end of this year because his son. And then he like and goes out on like a blowout, right? Let it be like a close, hard-fought game. He can retire with dignity as the last champ of the Big Ten West. If he retires, like, I don't even know what they do. Just hire Lance Leopold, right? Is he at Kansas?
Yeah.
Iowa just needs to throw the Big Ten money around, bring in a guy like that, or hell, just hire Matt Campbell. He's been winning enough at Iowa State that he can at least beat the crummy Big Ten West teams that you're going to be playing every year with three locked in rivals. But I don't know. Anything you want to end the show on?
Beat Louisville.
Oh, yeah, we need that. I don't want Ohio State to back in. If Michigan ends up not making it because they lose to Iowa, they deserve not to make it. But I want to see chaos, but I want to see Florida State and Michigan both make it, because a guy gets hurt, shouldn't keep your team out of the playoffs. Ohio State won with a third-string quarterback in the playoff era, a national championship with Cardale Jones. Don't knock Florida State. They beat LSU, so you can't say – and they beat Florida, right? So they do have two SEC wins. You can't say that the SEC is that much better than them, that they need to be jumped. We'll see you next week, though. Got to see how the playoff rankings get finagled around. Will it be Rose Bowl for the last one between the Big Ten and the Pac-12? Or will it be something strange? We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.